Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be nations. Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Slam the door. Boom. When I come into the bedroom,
bam, bam.
Cause I'm the king of the castle.
Nah, nah.
Turn me on, turn me loose.
Come on, come on.
Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and joining me once again from Kosovo is my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Can you hear me? I'm in a basement right now. This hotel is falling around me.
Sugar Tits basement being tortured.
Exactly, yep. I'm wearing the official Steve Piscatello tan shirt, and no, I'm only kidding. JR, it's always a pleasure, sir. I just have one thing to say before we get started. For anybody in PTB Nation, I know my PIC is not in this case, but for anybody in PTB Nation that has a laptop or a regular desktop PC computer and you have Windows Vista, get rid of it. That is the reason I am down in the basement here in somewhere in Saudi Arabia, because the Vista on my laptop screwed the pooch. It's being fixed as we speak. We hope to have it fixed by tomorrow, but tonight we are once again. So for those that thought that the Beware of Dog was a gag, you're wrong. it was not. But anyway, we have a great show. We will, of course, recap Raw from this past week for those that can stay awake for it. But, you know, JR and I always find a way to make it entertaining for you, even if the show is incredibly mundane.
We do our best.
We will give you – yeah, we'll do our best. We have the SmackDown spoilers. Then, of course, we will go through our news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. And a little interesting this today, because the rundown really never happened because of the technical issues. So what I love this week is that JR has no clue what the news hit stories are. Usually he has them in front of him, but, you know, sometimes you'll open them and sometimes you won't. But
no, I really can't. I really can't doze off during that segment now tonight.
Yeah, no, you can't. No, no fading. No fading. And if the beautiful baby G, you're going to have to actually tell us that you're leaving. If she starts to cry, but she's the best. And but yeah, so we got a lot of good news and notes, a lot of tidbits, and there will be a lot of Randy Orton tonight, because there's one story that's a little longer than you and I normally pick, but I wanted to really get into it tonight because it's a big deal and it's something that needs to be clarified. So, and we'll get a little bit into sports. Obviously, going on right now in Oklahoma City is Game 6 between the Thunder and the Spurs. My dream is coming true there, and that the Spurs will indeed be eliminated. In fact, I'm going to put no event center tonight. We're going to put the Spurs on and Thunder on mute, and all. We'll keep you in the we'll keep you updated. We'll keep you updated on what is going on in that game. Also tonight, in game what is it? Game 4 at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. The Kings are about to put the Devils to bed. So, Jonathan Quick, a Connecticut native, by the way. Could win the Conn Smythe. And we'll talk a little bit about another goalie who got under my skin. and we'll talk about that later. And we will conclude our show tonight with a huge announcement.
I'm not going to say huge. I feel like I've gotten people's hopes. I have Grant Owen scratching his head going crazy the last 2 days trying to come up with the – it was funny because he was trying to guess what it is, and he said, oh, is it a brand split? I said, yeah, we're going to create separate shows. We each of us host one, and he bought it. He said, oh, okay. I said, no, that's not it, Grant. We're not splitting the show.
Oh, that's funny. No, we're not splitting the show. We're not splitting the show. But it does involve the show, of course. Why would what?
Yeah, it's a decent announcement. It does involve the next few months of the show and a direction we're going to try and take things. So, but we'll get to that at the end. We'll as good hosts too, we'll keep you wanting until the end. So, all right, let's get into our weekly shit show disaster.
Yes.
P.S. Your cunt is in the sink.
He was on a lot again. Is the scooter, let me ask you, first question, JR. Is the scooter reaching Vince McMahon wheelchair levels?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's up there. Anytime you have a heel authority figure with any kind of apparatus that would render him handicapped is exciting for me. So, yes. But that was one of the few highlights of Raw. And I'll tell you, Scott, you know, you've known me now for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And even before that, I've, you know my enthusiasm for this business of ours.
Yes,
this may be in the handful of times where I'm starting to get pretty frustrated with the product. It takes a lot to knock me out. I'm pretty optimistic. I can deal with, I can deal with crap. I can deal with bullshit. I can deal with anything. But I don't know. Usually the other times it's happened where I've kind of lost interest a little bit is when something major has happened, like, when Eddie Guerrero passed away with the Chris Benoit thing. The other time was when I first started college. I lost out, fell out of it a little bit in early 98. And I'm not falling out of it, but I will say this. If it wasn't for PTB Nation and this show and the live chats, I think I'd be a little bit further out of Raw. I really have no inclination to even pay the $5 to go to Picasso's to watch the pay-per-views. And I know, having a baby probably plays into that a little bit, but the urge just isn't there. Like, it's just not there. And even the next show was on Father's Day, and I kind of joked with my wife. I said, oh, that's my Father's Day gift. I want to go watch the pay-per-view at Picasso's. And I kind of thought about it. And I'm like, nah, I really don't want to do that. So I don't know. I'm just kind of in a weird spot now. And really, if it wasn't for the show and doing our reviews and watching classic stuff and everything else, I think I'd be fading right now. I think that's where the product is. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Well, you and I are in the same, again, I mean, we've been friends for almost 10 years and we've watched a lot of stuff and we've seen our dips. Yes, as big a Triple H fan as I am, 2003 was a little tough to watch at times. But just like you, when I got in college, I kind of faded out of it in early 93 and I didn't come back into it until, late 96, early 97. But that was because I was, doing things, getting jobs and stuff. It wasn't that the product was bad. Well, not totally. But right now, I mean, you're just looking, and I got a couple stories later on in the news and notes where many are frustrated now. It's turning into Nitro. I never thought I'd see the day where, and 3 hours is just an absolutely horrendous idea, and I'm sure the muckety mucks, I don't think, are happy about this. I mean, you and I have always read that they were never crazy about 3-hour shows to begin with. It's very tough to do a 3-hour show without it looking horrendous and just trying to stretch and fill. And that was when they had a lot of a good roster and a lot of time. I mean, now their roster is so thin. 3 hours is just going to be a ridiculous. But just watching, when you talk about the high and low points, there's just some, I can't make any sense of it. There's no sense to make of it. Right now, it's just so scattered, and I feel like it's being run like a. It almost feels being run like that MWF or whatever. I mean,
they at least have long term booking.
Yeah, well, that's true too. It may not be good, but I just, JR, I don't disagree with you. I mean, the things that keep me going too is because I love our chats on Monday nights. But the other night, I got to be honest with you, I was writing the first half of our next review, which we'll be posting on our message board, SummerSlam 2007. I was writing that throughout most of Raw. I was actually waiting for you guys to say something important, and then I would flip over. But honestly, I wasn't even watching most of it. I was watching SummerSlam 07. And that's what it is. And now I feel like the chats are going to be the only thing that keep me from totally putting a fork in my eye trying to watch 3 hours of this in a month and a half. It's not fun. Nothing's fun. Even JR tweeted that he felt bad for Michael Cole on Monday night. And not many people can say that, but I'll let you get into that part. But I don't disagree with you one bit. It's our awesome fans, the love of history of professional wrestling, and this show and you that keep me from just watching, old shows on Netflix at this point, because right now nothing is motivating anybody to look forward to the future. And to botching, they botched the Rumble as much as I was picking Sheamus in the beginning, and then they botched Brock, and it's just been one screw up after another.
I don't know if I'd go as far as to say this has become Nitro, because Nitro was more of like a disaster at times. Like the production was all fucked up. They had these young guys. I didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were all over. WWE is very formulaic. They know what they want to do. They present it the way they want to present it. The production is fine. It's just that the things they're doing are just not the most entertaining things. Whereas WCW is just a disaster train wreck, you know?
Right. I'm more comparing it, not really in the product, but just in the way the show is laid out. I just feel like the formatics is just so scatterbrained. Obviously, yes, the difference is Nitro really had no, I mean, you know, 750 on Monday night. They still didn't have a clue what the hell was going on. These guys have something written down. It's just not good. I mean, you know, that's the difference. Yes, you're right. There's no question that WWE does go by a formula, but I don't know what that formula is and what they're using to fill it. But it's just not fun. You know, everyone thinks that. It's almost like they're doing G-rated Attitude Era, where they want to be funny and snarky, but they don't want to get too funny and snarky because the product's different now and, you know, this other stuff, and people are, you know, talking about, you know, Linda's campaign, so they can't do a lot of blood, and they're doing funny jokes, but they don't want to do too offensive jokes, and it's just, I don't think they have a clue what they want to do right now. They're so, I feel they're confused. And again, I have a couple stories in our news and notes segment later about the writing that I think you'll find interesting.
Well, this is a weird spot because they're lacking main event guys. They're lacking guys that hook you in. They don't seem to know how to elevate anyone. And then, you know, one of the stories you did tell me about was, you know, one of the new tag teams already, their push already ending and a new stable being dissolved before it even formed. It's like, you know, you've got to get behind something and stick with it and push it. They reset the panic button every 3 weeks and switch everything up. And it's like, you know, anytime they have something interesting or creative and instead of just going with it and letting it run its course, they abort it immediately if it doesn't get over, like, within a week, you know? And I kind of see what they say with Lord Tensai that, yeah, you know, maybe he didn't get over as quickly. But still, they didn't get much of a chance. It's like you give the guy a month and then all of a sudden he's buried. It's just kind of ridiculous. And, I heard an interesting topic on another podcast I was listening to where they were talking about how when the product was suffering in the mid-90s, they always had the talent of their performers to lean on in that they would just let them go out there and do their thing. They could talk and build their characters and still get themselves over. Everything now is so overproduced down to every minutia, every minute, that can't happen anymore. We're not going to have guys break out like we saw in 96 and 97 because they're not allowed to. Yeah, look at a guy like Dolph Ziggler. You know, he's doing it, but they're not letting him, you know, be developed or move, you know, get anything going on his own. So it's just, It's just frustrating. You don't see where there's room for growth, mm-hmm. and I just don't see a light. You know, I just don't see where the light is at the end of the tunnel, basically, at this point. Now, I know it's always there, and there'll be something, and, you know, by Royal Rumble, I'm sure we'll all be jazzed up again, but as of right now, it's looking to be a dull summer. Now, you know, we said that last year. That's the caveat, like we keep saying, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going away further than in my front door this year, so okay. we can't use that as a reason. But anyway, was there anything you thought out of Monday night that was good before we get into the myriad of it that was bad?
It's more.
Did you find
people.
Anything good in it?
I don't find the direction to be good, but the people there are still people and parts of the show I find entertaining. Like Laurinaitis to me is always entertaining. Dolph Ziggler is always entertaining. Sheamus I like. I don't dislike. He's just kind of there at this point. They barely use him for anything interesting. This is a guy who's the world champion. Right. We know nothing. He's just there. You know, he's just like this guy. This is odd.
Yeah,
it was good to see Hunico on TV. Sin Cara, you know, two matches, no botches, so it's something. Ryback interests me. I think he's had some great squashes. And honestly, if I were them, anything more they do than squashes are probably going to ruin the guy. So just let him squash from here until eternity. You know, at least they'll be an entertaining 3 minutes every week. I like the jobber doing the little promos before. I still enjoy that. But so like I said, there's individual things I've enjoyed about the show. It's just the overall kind of direction, it just feels so blah. And like Cena Big Show again just does not excite me. The Cena Tensai thing was a disaster, and Cena Cole, don't even get me started. That was atrocious.
It was bad.
It was the most, you know, it's not as bad as Cena's comedy show from a couple weeks ago, but it was up there. And what bothers me even more is they were finally getting over the whole Cole heel thing, and they were just kind of letting him be himself, and we had kind of forgotten about it, and now we're right back to where we started. Like, they had to drudge all that back up. Like, do we really need the Michael Cole blow-off? Didn't we get enough blow-off last year?
And I thought that he was pretty much, I thought he was pretty much done in this role.
Yeah,
you know, I thought he was done being the absolute bad guy, and then they just brought it all up again, And I almost feel like the fan they're thinking too much into what the fans think they want. Like,
no.
I know everybody wants to see Michael Cole get embarrassed, right? Okay, let's put that in there. And really,
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think they just think it's funny to see him get barbecue sauce poured all over him and see Cena giggling and yucking it up. And, you know, ever since we saw that story that we kind of shrugged off a few weeks ago that they were going to try and take Cena in a more serious – or I mean, in a less serious, more – you know, dorky, goofy kind of persona. It's been all that ever since the Brock match. He's just been happy-go-lucky Cena that likes to joke and pour sauce on people. So, you know, next week he'll be pouring a lube in the Big Show's beer. That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, that's only if K-Po put some lube somewhere. Yes. Yes. Damn it. And go to my party. No, we love you, K-Po. The whole thing, that was just a – I mean, they really thought they were going to get a good rating out of that ending. I mean, really? I don't know what they were looking for or what they're attempting to look for. They really got sauced on this Brock deal because right now they can use him, but because they only have specific number of – and I got a story on that too – specific number appearances, it's almost like they're in a holding pattern until they can use them. You know what I mean?
Right.
When he was on camera, it was awesome. And that included when he beat up Triple H, broke his arm and all that stuff, and everything leading up to the Cena match. And now it's almost like they're killing time with crap.
And he's going to be cold. He's going to be cold
mindless,
when he comes back.
You know, very yeah, he is. It's not going to be hot. It's not going to be like it was when he first came in. So, I don't know. That's what I think it is. I feel like they're just killing time until there's time for him to come back.
Yeah. The only thing in the world that you know, the killing time, and we're gonna do that by adding another hour of programming. It's like, yeah, really?
Yeah. So no, it's not good. It's not good. And that also kind of goes in line with our big the big story later on. But yeah, I mean, I love Ryan. Back. I'm nervous as to what they're going to do with him. Yeah, I'm a little puzzled. I'm a little puzzled as to what he'll bring to the table. And, other than squashing two stiffs, I kind of agree with you. I think he's over by, I love the whole putting two guys up and then having them stand around. He does like the Santino trombone thing before he freaking drops him. Yeah, it's going to be the rating came out. I'll let you be the bearer of mediocre news.
Yeah, another sub-3 rating. Another sub-3 rating, 2.9. And actually, you know, I don't think we emphasized enough at the beginning of the show because I really want to point this out for newer, if anyone's just tuning in. Our quality is not usually the audio quality is not usually like this. Scott's laptop's just in the midst of being fixed. He's on a cell phone. That's why there's a slight delay and some audio issues. I am, I have a different internet provider than I usually have. The modem is on the third floor. I'm in the basement. So my internet signal's a little weak. I think that's causing a little bit of a lag. So, just please bear with us. If you are new, go back and listen to some of our older shows. You'll see that we're not usually on this quality level. So we're hoping within the next couple of weeks we'll be back up and running once Scott gets his laptop back. And I should hope to have Verizon within the next 3 weeks or so. And then I'll get the modem situated in a better spot. So the internet signal hopefully will be a little bit stronger. So just stay, stick with us over the next couple of weeks and we'll get things straightened out for you.
Yeah, we shall. We do the best we can. It's very easy for people to just be like, everything's broken. We'll be back in 3 weeks. Well, we don't do that for two reasons. Number one, we love doing this. It gives JR and I a chance. I mean, this is actually, living in another state. It gives us a chance to chat in a roundabout way. And number two, Brock Lesnar, we don't want to get cold. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We don't want to get stale. We want to be here for you guys. So we do the best we can. And again, I apologize and hopefully my IT guy was badass today, figuring out the problem, and it just was too late in the day for him to get everything fixed. So hopefully tomorrow we'll get the full thing put together. So, I had asked you, I wasn't sure if you heard me, if you wanted to give what the rating was for Raw.
Yeah, another sub-3 rating, 2.9. Things obviously not doing well. They're trending downwards. And, people maybe surprised at my negativity. Also, I was surprised by Graham Cawthon. His tweets and Facebook posts Monday nights were not very positive either. And he's the guy we had on last year.
No.
Post WrestleMania. And, you know, when we were kind of being a little negative and he was loving the direction of the product and was all into it, and just to see where he's kind of coming here too, a little bit of negativity setting in. So that seems to be the trend a lot amongst a lot of fans now. You know, I'm not going to be the type of person that says I'm done, I'm not going to watch it, because it's just not the truth. But I will say, yeah, I will say interest in that product itself is, you know, ebbing and flowing right now, and it's not headed in the proper direction.
No. But yeah, we're not the kind of, I mean, if, for those that have known us a long time, for those that listen to, have listened to the show since last February, and then those that have just known us, whether it be the 10 years that we've known each other or before that, we've never jumped ship ever. In fact, we've been accused of being pretty big Vince apologists in our day. I don't think I'll ever just stop totally paying attention. It's just not in my blood. And it's certainly not in yours. But this is just not good. I don't even think – and I don't even think the generation gap is the problem anymore. Nobody says, oh, you know, it's because younger fans like the Cena stuff. No, I don't even think it's that either. I don't think they care anymore. If they cared, then the rating would not be 2.9. It would at least be in the threes. So, you know, that's ultimately the problem. I don't even see any live gates. I wonder how the house shows. Well, right now they're like overseas. I think they're in Spain or something. So I don't even know what – I mean, Europe, that's what's saving their bacon when it comes to making money, because – their overseas money is always good, because obviously they don't go there a lot. So, you know, they make a lot in their overseas.
Well, they have been going more
stuff because,
you know, they have been going more lately than they had ever in the past. Really, it seems like this year they've been away every month.
Yeah, I think they're in Madrid right now, or maybe that was over the weekend, but. They're moving around, but that, you know, they're making good gates because, you know, the Europeans don't give up on the product because they don't see them as much. But if you're a fan now, I mean, I don't know. That St. Louis, that show on July 23rd is really going to be, and they got to, they're almost, I mean, I've been reading things and we'll talk more about it later. They're treating that like a pay-per-view almost, mm-hmm. in terms of star quality and things like that. So.
All right, what was not treated like a pay-per-view was SmackDown. So let's read through these results. This is for this week's show from Greenville, South Carolina. And also, Scott, were you disappointed at all the last two shows?
Yes.
That no Ric Flair. You know, not that it was ever really hinted seriously, but there were rumors that he may show up in one of his two stomping grounds here.
I to be honest with you, JR, I was very – you guys – I thought – well, you said something in the chat Monday night, and I thought you were – I thought you knew something. I'm like, oh man, they're in Greenville. Holy crap. Like in 98. Oh, wow. And then, yeah, I was bummed. I mean, not that Ric Flair, I mean, Ric Flair as a person is not very high on my list right now because he's some kind of a reprobate, but, you know, Flair's Flair. Everyone knows how I feel about him, so it'd be great to see him back. But I think they have to figure out if his head is not firmly up his ass right now and that he's not a complete basket case. But I was bummed. I would have liked to see him Monday night.
I kind of felt hypocritical, like kind of hoping he came out. Even though I've been trashing him and shitting on him, saying how sad he makes me, but I think it's just me being starved for anything different. So, all right, SmackDown opens with Alberto Del Rio recapping his attack on Sheamus on Raw. Then Sheamus' music hits, but this seems pretty funny. I might have to try and make it a point to catch this. Ricardo Rodriguez comes out dressed up like Sheamus. He has bright white tights and a shirt to, you know, emulate Sheamus' skin. And then he does a Sheamus impression being interviewed by Del Rio. Sheamus came out and they started fighting. And Teddy booked Sheamus versus Kane and Del Rio versus Kali for later in the night. Del Rio would beat Kali via submission. Backstage, Naomi and Cameron are dancing for Teddy Long, and Brodus Clay shows up. Long tells him that he's now permanently on SmackDown. Clay gets serious and says they'll treat his opponent tonight as if he is the Big Show. And then he went on to squash Derek Bateman. What do you think of that move?
Derek Bateman?
No, Brodus to SmackDown.
Oh, it's Brodus to SmackDown. Oh, sorry. I you went in and out of that last part. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to do anything to help the show. I kind of miss him on Raw. He might be, maybe he'll be on both. I don't know. But it makes me watch SmackDown now. I mean, I DVR'd and I'll buzz through it, but now it'll actually make me want to pay attention to it because I liked Brodus. He was actually one funny thing that I actually enjoyed watching. So we'll see what happens. Maybe it'll help the SmackDown rating a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd be curious how they use them, and I'm curious why they took them off Raw. But so then Sin Cara defeated Drew McIntyre. McIntyre cut a promo demanding demanding that an authority figure come out and explain why he's not main event status. And Scotty C. Do you know which authority?
Exactly.
Do you know which authority figure came out to discuss that with him?
Santino Marella.
It was not Santino Marella. Any other guesses?
Oh, bummer. Well, it wasn't Vince. David Otunga?
Time to play the game!
That's right. Your boy showed up.
Did he really?
Yeah, he came out.
Awesome.
He came out, hit a pedigree, and then left. So, and I believe that was I believe that was the Arn Anderson story, saying that there could be a surprise anytime or whatever bullshit. So,
jeez.
All right. So Ryback
more on Triple H then.
Ryback then defeated two local wrestlers, so that's good. That continues. So Cody Rhodes came out, destroyed the Peep Show. Set up, he cut a promo bitching about Christian. Christian came out and Rhodes said Christian used to be a heel and no one's buying his act. And Christian says, you know what? I inducted Edge to the Hall of Fame and I realized, had a moment of clarity, I don't want to be remembered for being a whiner. Not, I want to be a winner of championships. Dolph came out and interrupted, and Christian defeated Dolph in an untitled match. So the jobbing streak continues, sadly. Michael Cole cuts a promo telling people to move on past the mess on Monday. Hornswoggle comes out dressed up like JR. Bantered with Cole, Damian Sandow came out, ripped to Hornswoggle, Tyson Kidd came to save him, and then Sandow beat the shit out of Kidd. So, well, a little, some more character building for Sandow, good to see. Matt Stryker interviewed Kane. Kane ignored his question about AJ, and then we saw AJ kind of peering behind some crates looking at Kane, so I don't know where we're headed with that. Like, I said it, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I really hope they don't end up together. Antonio Cesaro defeated Jimmy Uso, and then Sheamus defeated Kane by DQ, and AJ stared at Kane from the ramp as the show ended.
Now people are thinking, you know, the rumor could be now that maybe she's going to end up going back to Daniel Bryan, and the whole thing was a big, you know, I don't like that with AJ though. I don't like that. I want her to be completely ambiguous and just be creepy and hot to everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe she will be. Maybe this is just her fucking with Kane. I really hope so. I hope they don't end up with them together. I don't think it's a good fit.
No. I agree with that. So that's not a bad show. At least I'll DVR it and watch Triple H. You know, I don't know who the lesser two evils. I like Drew McIntyre, but you know, the game's the game. So, now we have No Way Out, as JR mentioned, on Father's Day, a week from Sunday, from the live from the Izod Center in East Rutherford. Right now, there's what, 1, 2, 3 matches. We have both titles up: Punk, Kane, and Bryan, as we just talked about. Sheamus is facing Del Rio for the world title, and then we have Cena and Big Show in the cage. And right now, I think that's it. Right? I don't think there's anything else yet.
No, I don't think so.
Have they added anything else? No, I don't think so either. What else could they add? Is there anybody left?
I know. Not a very inspiring card at all.
And you know, they're right. They're in the backyard of – or they're not backyard. They're going to be mere feet away from the home of WrestleMania 29. So not exactly the best invitation
I know.
You know, pre-invite party.
I know. It sucks. The year we're actually, you know, finally planning to go back to our WrestleMania, gather this whole group together, and even for TLC in December, and it's like the product just feels so blah. But, you know, things can change on a dime. It changed quickly last year. You know, it changed quickly again just now when it was pretty hot after Mania and kind of crashed, you know, soon after that. So we know things can turn around quickly. It only takes one hot angle or one hot wrestler to turn things around. But look at Punk, you know, where he's coming a year. He is... Right. You know, great in the ring, and he definitely is being pushed as, you know, one of the main guys, if not the main guy. But, you know, is he exciting or interesting as he was a year ago? Or do you think, you know, that has cooled quite a bit?
I think he's still great. And I'll tell you why. Because he's the only guy that's actually wrestling.
Right.
Literally, he is – JR, when was the last Raw? He was not on the card. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's wrestled at least every week since winning the title in November. I don't think he's missed a show yet. And every match is great. So he is really the saving grace of this entire company right now. Because Cena, I don't even know what the hell he's even doing. I really don't. I don't know what he's doing or what they're doing for him or what they're writing for him. But I feel like the only guy that's actually wrestled every week for the last, you know, 8 months has been Punk. And he may even be before he won the title in November when he was in the whole trip. You know, even last summer when the whole Nash Triple H thing fell in the toilet and they had to redo that twice, he still was wrestling every week. So really, it's amazing. The guy is a machine. I forgot who was the guy. Who was it that used to do the he used to do like the match records. Remember he counted like all of Duggan's matches for like 2 years. I don't remember who was that.
It was Dave.
One of our loyalists. Who was it?
Was it Matt Davis?
Was it Matt Davis? Okay. I'm curious. I'd like to see Punk's record since like last July, since Money in the Bank. I'm curious to see what his record is and how many matches he's been in. How many matches do you think he's actually lost? Like four, probably?
Yeah, not too
many. How many times has he been pinned? Yeah, and he's been pinned what? Twice. Once by Cena. Oh, no, not once, but once by Triple H. Har, har, har. and that's pretty much been it, really. He hasn't been pinned by anybody since. Well, Brian the one time on Raw. Pretty much it, really.
Didn't Kane beat him?
Wasn't that by DQ?
I don't know. I don't,
maybe Kane,
I
maybe know, Kane pinned him a couple weeks ago. But
You're better off asking me questions about results from it's Raw 1993 than now. So.
Yeah, exactly true. Yeah, exactly. And you know, having our own WrestleFest. But anyway, Punk's record's got to be amazing. So he is the saving grace of this company right now. There's no doubt about it. Whether it be the fact that he's just good, that he's the only one wrestling every week. He's just been awesome. He's been awesome.
Okay. I think that wraps up any current talk.
That was it. Yeah, that was all I had. That was all I had. I wasn't sure if you were. Oh, man. Sorry, I got to tighten the string between the two tin cans.
Yeah, I'll say the delay has been a little rough. Again, we apologize for that quality, but hopefully we're hoping by tomorrow night's show we'll have things fixed a little bit better.
Yeah, exactly. All right, why don't we take a break so I can fix the can and make sure there's no bombs blowing over my head here in the basement of Riyadh. When we come back, we will have our news and notes segment. I got some tidbits about a lot of stuff. Right now, there's 27 seconds left in the first half. The Spurs lead the Thunder 61-44. They've actually been shooting the lights out San Antonio in this first half. And then we'll, you know, any other sports tidbits and, you know, make sure that, you know, we don't lose power or anything. So, but first, let us take a moment and listen to our good friends from WrestleChat.net. Because
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
WrestleChat.net is indeed your home for everything pro wrestling. WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, MWF. No, I'm just kidding. although Jeff Peck could win the title in MWF. Maybe he could win NWF South.
That's right.
And our man John Walters could win NWF North. Then we can have a coalition of belts. But anyway, great message board. Obviously the podcast that we just talked about. And if you look to the right of the great news stories, you'll see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. And click on that, and you'll go to the 100 and almost 31 episode archive that is the Place to Be podcast. And almost all of them sound a lot better than this one.
Not almost
all of them. There were a couple, but not many that were like this. Anyway, WrestleChat.net is indeed your home for everything pro wrestling, and it is where it's at. Now, JR.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I have something firing up in the event center. In the VCR right now, I think it's an NWA. But again, I have the Spurs and the Thunder, and Kevin Durant just hit a 3-pointer at the buzzer, so the Spurs with a 15-point lead.
There can be a tie-in because back in 1997, 1998, Monday Nitro was often preempted by the NBA playoffs. You know, where could you find anything about those shortened shows?
Well, you can find the matches from those shortened shows on a wonderful website, thehistoryofwwe.com, purveyed by one of our dearest friends and sometimes tri-host, Graham Cawthon. Historyofwwe.com is a fantastic website. If you have any research issues, if you've got to look up something, if you're, you know, writing a review, or you're having a debate with a friend about a match, or if, like Jordan Duncan, you're inventing Detroit house shows, anything like that, you can go to his site. He's got WWE results, WCW, old NWA, ECW. He's really pumping up both his TNA and his Ring of Honor results page, DVD reviews, all sorts of great stuff. You can see some of our reviews on there. A lot of our loyal readers and listeners came through the History of WWE. So we thank Graham for that. And we thank you, of course, as well. So go to thehistoryofwwe.com. It's a tremendous research site. Graham Cawthon does a hell of a job with it. We'll have him back on in the coming weeks for something. Usually he likes to pop in and read the Jim Duggan reports. But maybe he'll do a Jim Duggan page. I don't know. Knowing him, he probably will. But anyway, thehistoryofwwe.com, a tremendous research site. And check it out when you get a chance.
You can also check us out on a Stitcher Radio app for your iPad, iPhone, Android, or StitcherRadio.com. The previous 10 episodes of the show are there. But if you're looking for all 131 episodes, you can find that on iTunes by searching Place to Be Podcast or P2B. And you can also join us on the Bigelow34.proboards.com message board. You have all our reviews. All our Place to Be Podcast feedback and discussion is there as well. We have threads for Asshole of the Week. We have threads for the Vintage Vault. We also have Vintage Vault suggestion thread on there as well, where you can... We'll get to that a little bit. We'll pimp that a little bit further. So join us there. We have all kind of polls. We're in the final four of the greatest band tournament of all time. And then I think Mr. Greenhouse has another tournament planned for after this one. Or maybe we'll do another draft or something to mix it up. And also there you can find out information on how to help our buddy Jay Womet out. He's suffering from lymphedema. And there are ways you can help him pay for his costly medical bill. So check that out on the message board as well.
Yes. Okay, it is time now for, speaking of our good friends at WrestleChat.net, let's go to the news and notes segment brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. And I'm excited this week because, again, for the first time, JR has no idea what we're about to talk about. All of these stories are completely hidden from him because due to the technical issues, I couldn't do a rundown that I normally do, and him and I could both look at them simultaneously. So are you ready, JR? Ready for this? I'm excited about this. Ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Number one, word is that WWE will run both a Raw and SmackDown version of Money in the Bank ladder matches at this year's Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which of course will be in July. I don't know where it is. Phoenix, I think, or something. I don't know. There had been speculation that they would only run one version of the match this year. At this time, the planned winners of both bouts are superstars who have never previously won a Money in the Bank ladder match. When I first read that, JR, I thought to myself, oh, wow, finally Dolph Ziggler thing will come true. But think of all the people that have never won a Money in the Bank. Mm.
When's
John Cena's never.
When's Wade Barrett due back?
That's a good question. For those that remember, right before WrestleMania, he suffered a very bad elbow injury on that stupid Battle Royal thing they did on Raw after wrestling, 15 straight friggin' days. Mm-hmm. And after that crazy chamber match, they make him wrestle a battle royal, and he screws up his elbow, poor guy. I don't know. It's been, God. Well, right now it would be, 4 months, I guess? 4.5 months? March, April, May? Yeah, something like 4.5 months. I don't know. Hope he's back soon. We could use him, you know? But I thought to myself, oh, well, let's see. John Cena never won a Money in the Bank. Sheamus never won a Money in the Bank. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sure everybody at first is thinking, oh, wow, Dolph Ziggler and, there's a ton of guys. So who knows? But anyway, so I guess, JR, they originally were thinking that they were going to do one ladder match and then have somebody pick kind of like the mid-2000s with the Rumble.
It seemed that way. It definitely seemed that way. But I guess, if you're going to have two titles, you might as well have two briefcases. Just keep it adds the intrigue. You can blow one off quick, and then you can slow burn the other if you want. So,
yeah.
And I thought that strategy worked well this year. I thought with the quick title change, and then the Del Rio, that only happened a month after he won it, and then the Daniel Bryan one, they were able to play out for a while. So,
yeah, exactly. So anyway, Money in the Bank takes place in July. I don't remember where the hell it is.
It was supposed to be in Vegas, and it moved. I'm pretty sure it's Phoenix. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it might be Phoenix. Well, Vegas was supposed to be TLC. Well, Vegas was supposed to be Money in the Bank,
yeah,
and that moved to TLC.
Yeah.
And then obviously TLC is now Brooklyn. So I think it's it is in Phoenix, because I know SummerSlam is in L.A. and Night of Champions in September is in Austin. So, all right, number two, we already know about this. You actually texted this to me. WWE has just sent out the following breaking news mobile text alert. Breaking news, WWE COO Triple H is confirmed to appear at No Way Out on Sunday, June 17th to address his future pending lawsuits against WWE and Brock Lesnar.
And our buddy Matty Mars, he wrote me earlier, he wanted to know if we had seen that and wondering if we thought that was actually going to help the buy rate or anything at all. I mean, I'd say no. I don't know about you.
I was going to watch it anyway. Obviously, I go to our friend Mike's house, and so I was going to watch it anyway, whether he was on or not. So, I mean, it gives me something to look forward to as I'm about to watch it, being obviously a fan, and of course our man Wilkie. But otherwise, no, it doesn't. I mean, if I wasn't going to Mike's and I wasn't going to buy it, and I, as much as I love the guy, I don't think that would have been enough for me to buy it. Unless, and like you said something very, very good a few headline shows ago about you don't want to do any Brock Lesnar surprises. So you don't want him to come out at No Way Out and beat the crap out of Triple H without any.
You want to plug any Lesnar announcement. Yeah, you want to plug any Lesnar surprises. That's for sure.
Yeah. So there you go. So Triple H will be at No Way Out. Obviously, he will not be wrestling. We'll see what he talks about. All right. Number three. Figure Four Online, which is our friend Brian Alvarez, notes that the story from Super Luchas of Randy Orton testing positive for Dianabol, which is an antibiotic steroid, is unconfirmed. Most wrestlers who want to pass a drug test would avoid Dianabol since it stays in your system for as long as 6 weeks. I don't know. I mean, we already think Randy Orton's a tool anyway. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that he was stupid enough to...
Well, we were wrong about the pot thing, too, because that's only a fine. That's not a suspension. So it wouldn't have been that.
All right. So who knows why he... So it had to have been that. Hey, you know what? You're the last one to say shut up to us, because you're the one whose head's on the chopping block. Next. Here's a guy that you and I both miss. TMZ reports today that WWE is sponsoring JBL's whole Seven Summits trip and will be promoting it online. I'm sorry, Mr. President. Could him and Jesse even make these Raws any good?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true, probably. Because Gorilla would probably get pissed off. Now, why is Cena doing that to Michael Cole? He's only an announcer. Jesse would make us like Michael Cole. That'd be the funny part. Okay, so... JBL has been planning to climb the highest peak on each continent to help raise money for a charity in Bermuda. JBL was going to pay for the trips on his own, but TMZ reports that WWE has given the project a $250,000 boost. Can they afford it? The trek will take JBL between 2 and 3 years. It was going to cost him upwards of $250,000. I know. It's going to cost him upwards of $250,000, but that promise solved thanks to WWE. On Twitter, JBL added that WWE will be promoting his new project in a big way. A fan asked if he'll be returning to WWE, and he replied, quote, I think it's safe to say that after announcement today on TMZ that it's highly likely.
That's awesome. You know, cool guy. Seems to really get it. His stuff on Twitter and Facebook's interesting. Very successful outside the business. Millionaire, self-made millionaire. It just seems like, for all the bullshit used to hear about him, and I'm sure he was a dick at times backstage, and I'm sure a lot of those stories are true, but it seems like he's really mellowed in his age, and seems like a guy that does a lot for charity and doing a lot of good things down in Bermuda. So cool to see, and I hope he does come back, and I hope he does something more than just a couple one-off appearances. I hope they put him back in the booth or do anything, GM, anything with him. He's such a talented performer, so...
Yes, I agree. It'd be good to see him back. And I'll tell you, having him as an announcer might help either show. I'd like to see him back on SmackDown, but I think he'd even be better on Raw. I mean, I love King, but even the announcing is just so antiseptic and so bland now. It's just blah.
No. You can tell him to go kiss off, but I've been here all night, and I ain't leaving yet, and you can stop counting me down, because I done told you once, son. Please, we got a damn problem.
Hey, wait a minute.
And if you cut me off to watch midgets play basketball, I'm kicking your ass.
You cut me off like you cut those midgets off of their knees to make them less than optimal human beings.
Less than optimal. All right. Tom Pritchard was released from his head trainer job at WWE Developmental and replaced by Bill DeMott. According to a WWE source, this is just one of many changes that will happen as developmental is slowly taken over by Triple H. Many talents, including friends of DeMott, were shocked to hear that he had taken over for Pritchard again. So the doctor there, Dr. Tom, former Body Donna, former Heavenly Body,
Zip.
Former everything with a body.
He'll probably end up back.
Former Zip.
He'll probably end up at TNA with his brother, I'm sure.
Yeah, most likely. Okay. But I like Bill DeMott's just a good trainer, though. He gets it.
I agree.
Gets it.
Oh, I like all the stuff they're doing, too, with with JR down there. They have their TV show set up, and JR's doing the commentary and all that stuff you were talking about last week or the week before. Dusty being involved as the GM, and Regal doing the commentary and the scouting. It seems like they're, Triple H's reaches there are really starting to kind of come to fruition, so it's good to see.
Yeah. On a side note, I was, as I'm looking up TNT's in commercial there at halftime, and I don't know if you've seen the promos for that show, Men at Work. Got the Danny Masterson, who was in That 70s Show. Well, apparently the next episode has Stacey Keibler in it. So I don't know. Just want to point that out to everybody. All right. Next, after wrapping Pain and Gain earlier this week, The Rock is now in New Orleans area filming for Empire State, which co-stars Liam Hemsworth and Emma Roberts. Rock will be filming in Louisiana for the next 5 weeks. So does he win Money in the Bank?
No.
He's never won a Money in the Bank match. That's what I'm saying. I mean, can you even take that with a grain of salt? No. I mean,
Didn't they say the same thing last year? Oh, no, that was the only former Money in the Bank winners or some shit we're going to be in, right? Was that what it was before? Or only former champions? That's what it was.
Yeah, only former champions, right. Yeah, that's what it was. That was the one at me. That was the one at 26 because that's the one that...
No, that was the one that was supposed to be... No, it was this year. It was supposed to be this year.
Oh,
at
it was?
Mania.
Okay.
That was the rumor. They were going to have it at Mania with only all former champions, I thought.
Oh, that would have been pretty neat. But I like Maine anyway, so I'm glad they didn't do that. All right. In the no-shit Sherlock department, a source within WWE says Vince McMahon is getting tired of scripting television at the last minute. The WWE chairman regularly demands partial or full script rewrites on the day of Raw. A script for an episode of Raw last month was not completed until after the show went on the air. What the fuck is going on? I mean, really. At some point, when do you hold Stephanie accountable for something?
Yeah, I just think the problems are too big to even delve into on a show like this, especially with the connection we have tonight. The sure. problems there just run deep, and somewhere along the way they lost what they were, and they got away from being a wrestling company. And to me, that was a tried and true business formula that they had. Yes, they make good money now. It's a machine now, but you're missing that. What it was, what wrestling was. I'm trying not to be too nostalgic about it because I want to still be pragmatic, but they could be successful and still be a wrestling company that makes sense, that runs, angles that make points and have good, legitimate wrestling matches and push guys that are getting over and have them be the talent, the guys that are pushed well. And it's like TNA has all those things in place too, and they can't do it. They've had so many chances to step up and take over, and it's like they just can't get out of their own fucking way. And the opening has been there for them for so long now. It's like if they could just get their shit together and figure it out. Their mistake was not giving Paul Heyman the Godfather offer a few years back and keeping Russo and waiting too long to really shake things up. I think that was their chance. When Heyman was kind of interested and they could have blown him away with the money offer and had him come in and just be solely in charge of creative, to me, I think that was there when they missed the boat.
Absolutely, and now he's back in WWE, and if they give, and now they could use him. That's
yeah.
For
well,
sure.
It doesn't seem like they're gonna. I'm sure he'd be willing to, but I don't think they're gonna.
No, because Stephanie's. We all know who the smarter.
Well, hopefully,
we all know who wears the pants in that marriage.
Hopefully, he'll at least be at the pay per view. So we'll see.
Yeah, speaking of his charge, Brock Lesnar is contracted for approximately. I'm going to pull the number off, JR. I want you to guess dates over the duration of his contract with WWE. He'll be off television until the build-up for SummerSlam. He'll also be needed in the weeks leading up to WrestleMania night.
Powers, you need to sashay out of here. Sashay off my property where I hold my keys.
I'm not going to do the awkward laugh. What movie is that again? Just tell me. No. Okay. He'll be also needed in the weeks leading up to WrestleMania 29, unless he's not scheduled for any appearances in the fall. So he's used 6. How many think he has left?
28.
24. That's not a lot.
No.
And that's why we're having antiseptic bland Raws, because, I mean, how many can they use for SummerSlam?
They'll probably use four. I bet they'll have them on three times on TV and once on SummerSlam, or twice leading to SummerSlam, once on SummerSlam and then one the night after again. And then I bet he'll be off again maybe until before the Rumble. And then you got 20 weeks where you could pretty much have him full time if you want from the Rumble to Mania.
Right, exactly. So we'll see. But that's the other problem. They're so hamstrung, they could really use him. And, you know, and unfortunately they have to count them. So, all right. A one night only Degeneration X reunion is advertised for the landmark 1000th episode of Raw.
One night only. I mean, we haven't seen them reunite. Oh, wait, we see them every fucking year. We have a DX reunion.
Yeah, pretty much. July 23rd, Sean X-Pac Waltman, who was a member of DX for 2 years, says he has not been contacted to appear at the event. No one has called me in regards to the 1,000th episode of Raw, just to set the record straight. That was his tweet.
Well, I'm guessing they'll probably have Road Dogg involved, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And if he is, I can't see why they wouldn't call Billy Gunn. He probably could use the money. I don't know.
Maybe he has a rodeo
they get. Yes, exactly. And I don't know about China, you know.
No, I don't. I can safely say she's in the Savage Zone. I don't think we'll see China ever again.
Yeah, she might be doing something called Two Ways In.
She'll be on the Womet list. Didn't she have more issues this past weekend at some film thing or whatever? She collapsed like three times over the weekend or some shit. I don't know. It's just not good.
Yes. Yeah, she had. Nah, she's a mess. No, you'll never see her.
I think she's trying to break Jake's record of being the most unlikely longest wrestling survivor ever.
Pretty much. All right. So the next two stories continue on with our theme of this 3-hour Raw coming up. Vince McMahon's return to television on that Raw Super Show on next week's show. This is not the big one. This is the one next week.
I don't know,
is being done in response.
She's just acting real funky.
I don't think you'll be on the Raw Super Show. I don't think he's probably showed up drunk the last few times. Man, remember that segment before? What WrestleMania was that? Was that 21 when him and Orton were in the ring? There you go.
That was the last time. I think that was the last time he was on, wasn't it? Other than his DVD.
Yeah I think so. And that was, 7 years ago. Wow. God, WrestleMania 21 was 7 years ago?
I know. It's disgusting.
That's crazy. All right. Vince McMahon's return to television on next Monday's Raw Super Show will be done in response to the program's disappointing ratings figures in recent weeks. No duh. He will kick off the 3-hour show with an evaluation of John Laurinaitis' job performance as general manager of Raw and SmackDown, which company officials are hopeful will boost first-hour viewership. The show was originally pegged as the second choice for the date of the draft. However, with so many wrestlers working both Raw and SmackDown, the idea was dropped. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're laughing now, because you're the one that... if you're the savior of the show, then we're screwed.
That was me all along.
Put it that way. It's going to come out in a robe. I was the laptop. Oh, God. All right. Getting back to the Super Show. The 1000th episode, July 23rd, which, by the way, will be in Randy Orton's hometown of St. Louis. WWE officials have reportedly contacted nearly 24 former performers for cameo appearances on the program, which will be treated as a pay-per-view quality event.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's not saying much, you know.
I know. Depends what pay-per-view you're talking about. The entire roster will be on hand.
We're
going to
treat this show like Fatal 4-Way.
This is going to be better than King of the Ring 95. The entire roster will be on hand for the show.
Oh, Dennis, I can get you booked on the special pay-per-view quality Raw. I don't know. I mean, if it was like SummerSlam or Survivor Series, you're not interested in Final Four, Fatal 4-Way, I mean? You're not interested in being booked on that show?
He could have been the ref at Final Four. Maybe he would have put Vader's eye back in his head or something.
I am the king of his eye sockets.
Yes. I don't do any tricks with eyes. Oh,
Dennis, come on. We'll be in St. Louis. Remember that match you had in 77? I didn't have a pink tank top for you or whatever. Pink polo shirt or whatever. And you're wearing pink. I didn't like Sam Mushnick. He didn't double book me. He didn't double pay me. Not a fan of St. Louis. Oh, okay. Sorry, Dennis. I didn't realize you were in such high demand that you could turn down bookings.
weren't you on that team with Jake Milliman to win the
not team involved. Challenge?
How come he wasn't booked in the team challenge in AWA? I mean, for God's sakes.
You know, I read the schmuck was.
Jake the Milkman Milliman, for God's sakes, won the fucking thing for Lisa Bisco's team.
I'll tell All you right. who should be booked is I'm watching the Spring Breakout Nitro from 1997. John Cencio, MTV VJ, is entering the ring to talk to Mean Gene. This guy is a fucking tool.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Where's DJ Scribble? Wasn't he the one that was on fucking Heat?
Whatever. Oh, yeah. Not as good as DJ Ran.
Nobody's better than DJ Ran.
Oh, he goes to school.
All right, so the entire roster will be on hand for the show, and there's a chance new talent will be introduced as well.
Yeah, sure.
Officials are hopeful that The Undertaker appears at the event. If he does, it'll likely be promoted weeks in advance rather than as a surprise.
I read your boy Sid may be involved.
Oh, God. I mean, on the one hand, it's like, that'll be freaking great. On the other hand, how low have they sunk? You're half the brain that I got.
I'll see him powerbomb Jinder Mahal through a table or something.
Kill him. Oh, God. What do you think? What do you think about having like somebody like Pillman? Why don't somebody dress like Pillman? Someone come on, dress like Pillman. That'd be great. Someone dress like Pillman. Oh, God. You know, I there is probably a great Raw going on in heaven right now that's better than what they're booking right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis. They told me they'd rather book someone that's passed away 10 years ago than you. Sorry, Dennis.
I'm sorry, Dennis, to put you in with Pillman and Owen Hart. It's such a shame. Not in fold. I'm not wearing the blazer helmet, the blazer mask.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, before we sink any lower, WWE.com is advertising the Raw Super Show taking place August 6th at the AT&T Center in San Antonio, Texas. As take a guess,
King of the Ring?
No. Think of what city they're in.
San Antonio. Won't be Raw Roulette.
Has to do with a person.
Oh, sure. Is that the Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night?
It'll be Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night.
Yeah, okay.
Which will likely be the night that I bet you that Brock comes out and puts him in the Kimura lock and snap his
They should.
Arm.
Yeah, they definitely should.
I think so. Shawn will sell it like he got like hotcakes. So, is this the last story? Oh, I got two more. Oh, no, this is okay. So this is the last one, but it's long. I'm going to read it. And I really wanted to put it on here. So, all right. Randy Orton's second violation of WWE's talent wellness program puts the organization in a quandary, since one more infraction will result in him automatically being fired. However, given the long-held belief that WWE selectively enforces their drug testing policy, there is skepticism as to whether the organization would follow through on cutting ties with a high-ranked wrestler in the event of another drug test failure. Dustin Starr, who appeared as referee for Florida Championship Wrestling in 2010, tweeted, WWE would never release Randy Orton, in response to former Intercontinental Champion Lance Storm praising the sports entertainment organization for sticking to their drug testing policy on the 60-day suspension of the Viper. Storm disagreed with his remark. By policy, they could rehire after 1 year. He'd be fresh and hot on return, Storm explained. Starr replied, I don't know. Seems like a diamond they would not be willing to let go. He's a golden boy. WWE's official procedure for handling a third talent wellness program violation reads, all right, this is what it says in their official document. Quote, in the event of a third positive test for substances prohibited by this policy other than marijuana and alcohol, the WWE's talent contract with WWE will be terminated and WWE will publicly disclose the WWE talent's name and that WWE talent's contract was terminated for a third violation of the policy. Any WWE talent who was contracted was terminated for a third violation, who has participated in a drug rehab program as a result of the policy, must undergo the mandatory unannounced follow-up within Section 8C of the policy, blah, blah, blah. Any talent who leaves the WWE for any reason with a first or second violation on his or her record will maintain said violation count from the time he or she departs until the time he or she returns, if ever. In addition, a WWE talent who was terminated by the WWE for a third violation of the policy will be prohibited from returning to the WWE for at least 1 year. If a WWE talent who was terminated for a third violation of the policy is permitted by the company in its sole discretion to return, then one such talent must test negative for all prohibited substances under this policy during the pre-contract screening process. And blah, 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 blah. The 9-time world champion suspension reportedly stems from a positive drug test for the anabolic steroid Dianabol, which is banned by the U.S. Congress under its Controlled Substances Act. He's also reportedly tested positive for marijuana, which is subject to a $2,500 fine. Okay. So what that pretty much says is even if he gets pinched a third time, they could say to him, almost like the David Stern, Michael Jordan, go play baseball thing. Mm. It's almost like, you know what? Go home for a year. Chill out. You know, we're not going to pay you, but he was probably making good money anyway. Don't go to TNA. Stay in shape. And in a year, you'll come back. That's very different than the whole getting fired thing. I mean, that's interesting that that's finally come out. I don't know if anybody ever actually knew that.
I think so. I think that that's been well known that they could rehire within a year.
Okay.
Or after a year.
Now, here's the other the next thing. WWE officials have been discussing a major change that may be implemented soon for talents who fail wellness tests. In the future, the company may start announcing what caused the talents to test positive.
What's causing all this?
What's causing all this? The hope is that if they start to announce what substances the wrestlers test positive for, it may discourage other talents from taking those substances.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Do you think it'll make a difference?
We've had people die from the shit that people still take. I don't think getting fired is going to stop them either. So,
nah, probably not. Now, here's another thing. They're talking about the other, and I didn't have this on the list, but I remember that somebody said on WrestleChat.net somewhere that, you know, everyone says, well, Orton can't be pushed to the upper above mid card because you don't want to book him for long term, and then, you know, and then he gets pinched. Well, in 2009, Jeff Hardy was world champion with two strikes. But you made a good point to me. I'll let you say it. You made a good point to me when we talked about.
Well,
it
just that they were more loaded at the time, they could kind of take the risk. Right now, they're kind of short on guys, and it's like, you know, it's one thing to keep him around in the mid card just to fill out your cards, but to have him be your main guy, and then if he bites the bullet and fails the drug test, and you're going to suspend the title, and I don't know, it just seems like they're better off just elevating someone else into that spot for right now. Back in 2009, you still had a lot of guys floating around that were big names. Shawn Michaels was there, Undertaker was there on a more full time basis, Triple H was there full time. You just had more big name veteran talent on that you could kind of, you know, Edge was still around that you could kind of supplement him with.
Mm. Right. So that's the difference. I mean, you make Randy Orton world champion and then what? You know, you'll make up another stupid battle royal. So, all right. So there you go. That's all the news and notes I have. Hope you enjoyed it. Courtesy of our good friends at WrestleChat.net.
Now, before
this game is actually getting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was going to say, they're in commercial now, and the Thunder have cut the lead to 6. So,
all right, before we get to our next segment, there were two plugs I just wanted to give quick that I forgot to give. One was for our buddy Grant Owens. I've been meaning to do this for a few weeks, and I keep forgetting. He's actually started his own podcast. It's We Found New Music, brand new music show dedicated to breaking new bands, music industry headlines, and concert dates. If you want to find some new bands to enjoy that will probably hit the radio later this summer, check out the brand new episode of his show, We Found New Music, on demand at the link below, and you can get that link from him, and he has a group as well. Grant and Joanne's radio show. You can even download it to your iPhone or smartphone, streamable on smartphones and computers worldwide. Their next episode is Thursday, June 28th. So support our buddy Grant. Grant, he gives us a lot of support, and I told him I'm going to try and check out that show tomorrow. I haven't had time yet to listen to it, but you know, Grant's a good guy, one of our biggest fans, so we got to help him out as much as we can. Also, Scotty C.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Also, in my middle of my seventh week here on DDP Yoga, I had the fortunate night to start the Red Hot Core exercise. Of course, he introduces new routines every couple weeks, and this one certainly lives up his name, Mr. Criscolo. I can barely lean over to do this podcast right now. So DDP Yoga still kicking ass. Definitely, you know, if you're looking for a great workout, I think the $100 I paid for it is almost a steal, honestly, with the level of workout he gives you and the amount of different things you do. It's almost like having a personal trainer. It really is. I've really enjoyed doing it, and you know, there are nights where I'm like, I'm going to do another one. So like even tonight, I did two of them just to do because they're enjoyable to do and it's a good workout. So highly recommended. Highly recommended.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I'm glad. I'm glad it's working out. Actually, easy workout for you since obviously being home a lot. You know, it saves on a gym membership most likely. And good. Good. I'm glad it's working out. Your upper torso feels about as good as the internet line does right now. So, so you're going hand in hand there.
It looks better than that, though.
So, all right. Up now, and I forgot to mention this earlier, and I apologize. It is now time for the most internet-friendly segment in podcast history.
What kind of disgusting, despicable?
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
That grade A, genuine, authentic asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
It's Senor Sugar Tits himself plays us in for this week's Asshole of the Week. Since Scott is without internet, I will be reading all the entries, so bear with me as I stumble and spew these words out. We start with Mike Wilkinson. My nominee is Randall Keith Orton. I have a feeling this is going to be a trend tonight. We'll see. The news of his relapse hit on the day the award was given last week, so I'd like to start a charge of him winning this week. I don't know if this is a one-time slip-up or not, as I know relapses can happen a la Josh Hamilton. But I hope for his sake it was a one-time slip-up after sobriety. Randy Orton, you still deserve to be Asshole of the Week. Jason Greenhouse, ditto for me. Randy Orton has the world by the balls and could lose everything he's busted his ass for. One more violation of the wellness policy and Orton will be an echo of the company's past. Ed Harris, throw me in for Orton as well. Just a damn waste. I couldn't stand him on that set of the movie we filmed last year. Only kidding. Austin Pfaff, Mr. Pfaff. It needs to be Randy Orton. Remembering what he said in his DVD documentary, and I paraphrase, I need to watch what I do, because now if I screw up, it doesn't just affect me, it affects my wife and daughter too. Yeah, how about that, asshole? Todd Weber, disgusting, despicable piece of shit, Randy Orton. J. Arsenio D'Amato, RKO, token the bone. Sefazio DeFazio, it's toss-up between Jillian Hall's DUI and Randy Orton getting suspended for 60 days. I'm going to have to go with, I don't know, it's Randy Orton. There, my asshole week is Randall Orton. Jeremy Nichols, Randy Orton, without a doubt. Jay Hinchy, I know most have said Randy Orton, but I'm more shocked about it than I am upset. I'm going with the idiot baseball fans who run into the field. Is it really worth spending the night in jail? Dave Vanver, it's our buddy Chassines. Anyone who tries to eat anyone else or any moron that actually believes is an impending zombie apocalypse. Although I do believe this is the perfect opportunity to bring back everyone's favorite one-hit wonder wrestler, not named Fantasio, to make a comeback. Bring back the zombie. Side note. Always thought that guy had a strange vocal and physical resemblance to Jim Hellwig. Maybe it was his cousin. Our buddy He-Man VT, and I apologize, I always forget your name. I want to say Dave. Really, Randy Orton. You guys are surprised that a superstar athlete celebrity doesn't understand how lucky they have it by blowing their money, blowing the drugs, and ultimately blowing their career? Eventually causing it to blow anyone who will give them a chance for money, drugs, or career. If I had a nickel for every one of these cautionary tales, I'd be lucky enough to have the opportunity to have the same disregard for said luck. Enough about blowing, because my jaw hurts. I need to get back to their subject at hand. Assholes. While there's so many to choose from on a daily basis, I'm going with Mr. Terrell Owens. And not because he's in the same category as I previously described, because he continues to make excuses and continues to expect people to buy it. At least the usual superstar who ruins a career eventually admits he's a fucked up asshole. As we know, T.O. was fired for not showing up to the Children's Hospital event. From what I've read, that was just a final straw. He's now demanding an apology and money, because he claims there's a scheduling screw-up by the company. Honestly, guys, a Mexican drug mule pulls less out of his ass than T.O. does. If assholes could fly, T.O. would be a 747. Corey Ferreira, I'll go with Horton. But I got to say something about the Mark fans on Twitter for being clueless idiots not understanding how the wellness program works. And if you fail a test, you need to take the punishment. But no, these fucking morons need to tweet we love and support Randy bullshit. And tweet dirty for bringing back this shit really pisses me off. No wonder why I hate Twitter. And Matty Mars. Orton, of course, what a douche. Non-sports wrestling has to go to Michael Bloomberg. Leave big gulps alone. Nonsense. And also Steve Gross for getting pneumonia, forgetting to get his pick in. But I'm sure he'd go with Orton. Scotty C, I have a nominee of my own.
Oh, you do, huh?
I think okay. You'll agree with this one. And that is Mr. Timothy Thomas. I'm looking at his picture right now in the Frank Colasso original Bruins Stanley Cup poster. But, you know, 1 year ago at this time, he was your deity. You were worshiping him. He was your sports hero here in Boston. Beloved. We stand here 365 days later, and he is hated. Despised.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you up to the latest news on this whole story?
Yes, he was. Yep, I agree. And now, I don't know. now he wants to go, I don't know, find himself, you know, fishing in rivers in the mountains or something. I don't know.
I mean, in the end, this really fucks the Bruins over because they can't trade him because who the hell is going to trade for a guy that's not going to play?
Nope.
They can't, you know, if he's not going to play, they can't just really. Either way, they're on the hook for the cap hit. So even if he retires and goes away for a year, because he's over 35 with the new CBA, they have to still absorb the cap hit. So he's really screwing them. And, you know, the guy's a little bonkers anyway. He's a little weird anyway. He's off, you know, building weapons shacks and, you know, shanties out in Colorado and all this other stuff. And he's just a weird dude. He fucked up the team halfway through the year when he refused to go to the White House. He couldn't just suck it up and go. And, you know, we talked about it at the time. And Scott, I did say to you at the time, do you think Tim Thomas will still be a Bruin next season? And you seem to think he would be. But I told you I didn't think he'd be back. I thought they'd dump him. And it looks like this partnership that brought them so much success over the last couple of years is going to end with a thud.
Yeah, and I'm really sad about it because a year ago, you and I were talking about, you know, was it a year ago this past weekend that we were having the stag of the Rotellus?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was 1 year ago that we were that I was watching, you know, women dance in my lap while the Bruins lost game two in overtime. An interesting way to lose a Stanley Cup game. And then it was on that game three that you know, Darren Horton got knocked out. And Nathan Horton, not Darren Horton.
I don't think it was Darren Horton. And by the way, the Oklahoma City Thunder are now down 3 with 3 minutes to go in the third.
Yeah, I'm watching this. I mean, they're just – they turned up the athletic meter, and the Spurs are kind of getting run off a little bit here. And now and that mojo – you know, I thought they could find the mojo in the postseason, and they had some great stretches. I mean, I remember November they were undefeated, and they played great in December. And I could just tell that series against Washington, they just weren't the same team. And they won some big games in overtime, but then I'm thinking, maybe. And then obviously they lost Game 7 in overtime. But Timmy didn't play bad in that series. It just wasn't the same. And now whatever he had last year, Jonathan Quick has this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, you know, that game I think is going on right now. Why don't we take a look at that score?
Yeah, it was one of the Devils last I saw.
Let's see. Well, I think that game. I think the game's over because Law and Order is on.
No, it's not on NBC.
It's on the NBC Sports Network.
It is on. Yes, I know. What a fucking joke. The game is tied with 6 minutes left. I can't even watch the series because it's on NBC Sports. Unless it's on NBC, I can't see it.
Are they out of their friggin' mind? This is a world championship series, and you got it on, like, second-tier cable?
You know what? I don't think the rating was very good the other night. I wonder if they pull an audible, because Law & Order probably beats it in the ratings, honestly.
It probably does. Yeah, it's 5:56 to go third period, and it is 1-1. So, all right. Now, here's the other problem.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's the other problem. Well, here quickly, from a financial standpoint, here's another problem. Tuukka Rask is a restricted free agent. So they got to sign him, which they would have anyway.
But now that adds leverage to him, though. Because he could say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be your guy now. Thomas is already fucking you. I'm going to hold you up for more money.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're in a lot of deep shit. And then they have no backup. I mean, the end of the year, they had Marty Turco and a couple other scrubs.
They got a pretty good kid in Providence that'll probably come up and back him up. I forget his name, but he's solid. He's young.
Yeah, he must have been Tuukka's backup the last couple of years. So, but yeah, Timmy really pissed me off. He got flaky. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people there are a lot of athletes over the years who don't like the president, regardless of who he is. But suck it up and go. Yeah, you know,
that's really where things started to turn. You know, the opinion in the town of Tim Thomas. That's really where things turned around, and it's just been downhill from there. So yeah. That's my nominee for Asshole of the Week, just because he's a douchebag. But Randy Orton clearly wins this week's vote just based on the popular nominees. And any other sports things you want to get to, Scott, or should we just get to business?
Well, with 4:29 to go, Henrique just scored. So with 4:29 left, the Devils take a 2-1 lead. So trying to stay alive.
Hey guys! Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
That's you, Matty Mars.
Do you know that whole story, by the way? You know that whole story, right?
Yeah, that they're limiting the size of drinks.
The whole Bloomberg thing. Yeah. Do you know that?
Yeah, what is it? They're limiting the size of the drinks, right?
Yeah, they want. No, yeah, and I concur with him. You know, I understand, but you know, it's the human being's responsibility. If a 30-something year old person wants to drink a 63-ounce fucking soda, let them do it.
I kind of see the argument, because you can say, well, the fat pig who can't control himself and drinks a 63-ounce soda will eventually come down with diabetes, and then is a strain on the healthcare system, which affects everyone's taxes. So, I mean, there's a lot of different or healthcare premiums. So, I mean, there's, you know.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at it, too, because, you know, you could say that we're not going to get into this debate, but I mean, it's almost like capital punishment where, you know, I don't feel like paying my tax money to keep, you know, convicted murderers in prison, just fry them and move on. But you know what I mean? But whatever. Anyway, the point is I understand Matty Mars's point. But yeah, Tim Thomas, that's yours and my personal asshole of the week. But I'll write it down. The asshole of the week this week is Randall K for being a dope. So. And yeah, so Henrique just scored, or Henrique. I don't want to offend any Devils fans. So the Devils, trying to avoid being eliminated, lead 2-1 in game 4 with 4:16 left. And they're down 3-0. And let's see, let me check what's going on at Chesapeake Energy Arena in Oklahoma City. They're in a halftime huddle, they're in a timeout huddle. And let's see. Scoreboard comes on the screen with 2:57 left. It is Spurs 77, Thunder 74. So, all right. And then tomorrow night.
No, actually, OKC is now 1 with 2:45 left. So, we'll probably still be on the air when this game ends. So we'll update you there. So, asshole of the week, Randy Orton, and it's kind of an important one because it's also the last one for quite a while, Scott. We've been talking, and with the direction that wrestling and WWE is headed, and you know how Raw's been, the recaps of us have become more of a drain than anything interesting or thrilling to talk about. Noticed that our debates have kind of, while still solid, you just kind of run out of the same things to talk about over and over, and the news is kind of stagnated. It seems to be the same things every week. So until something major happens, or until NFL kicks up again in September, we're not going to be doing headlines anymore. In its place, we're going to be picking items off the Vintage Vault request list on the Place to Be message board, bigelow34.proboards.com. Mm-hmm. So now, going forward for the rest of the summer, you will be getting 2 Vintage Vaults a week. You'll get one in the chronology that we've been doing with the pay-per-views, WWF pay-per-views. We're at King of the Ring 96, which we'll be recording tomorrow night. Then starting next week, there'll be no headlines, so no asshole of the week feedback needed. But we will be posting feedback threads for the shows we'll be reviewing. Now, it could be anything except a WWF/WWE pay-per-view. So you can do a WCW pay-per-view. We can do episodes of Raw. We can do episodes of Nitro. Anything wrestling-related. We're going to do movies, TV shows, all different things. And starting next Wednesday night, we will be reviewing Beyond the Mat. Will be the first Vintage Vault request we take. And we're doing things a little bit differently. Scott and I are actually going to watch the movie and do live commentary over it. And we'll also be joined by a special guest. Our friend and yours, Jordan Duncan, will be joining us. So the three of us will put on Beyond the Mat. We'll start it at the same time. And we're going to kind of Mystery Science Theater it. And we'll see how that goes. And if that works, we're going to do that for a lot of things outside of anything over like 2 hours. We'll probably won't be able to do it for. But anything under 2 hours. So if we do a Raw, Nitro, TV show, a movie, we're going to try and do live commentary over it. So what we can do is kind of time it with you guys. You can sync it up to air it at the same time we're doing it. And then watch it while you listen to the podcast. So something different. Try and mix things up as we hit the summer doldrums. And then as we close down on NFL season, we'll probably go back to doing headlines so we can do our NFL picks and once wrestling starts to hopefully pick up the business a little bit more. So, Scott, do you have anything to add to that little diatribe there?
No, you hit the nail on the head. By the way, speaking of finishers, Kevin Durant just hit a 3. So with 1:23 to go in the third quarter, the Thunder have taken the lead 79-77, although Steven Jackson has 2 free throws. He could tie it. So
Captain Jack.
Nope, he missed the first one. Gavin Jack, he missed the first one. Anyway, I mean, we're not going to cut down one show a week. I mean, that's not fair to you guys, and certainly not fair to JR and I. But let's be honest. I mean, the last like 5 headlines, the first half hour is like root canal, not just for you guys listening, but for us doing it. The news and notes are okay, and then asshole of the week's pretty fun. But the one thing that I love about wrestling, and I kind of hinted to it earlier when you and I were talking about Raw, is that we always have history. And history is what keeps us all fans. And I think right now, in a very bland summer, going back to history is like our comfort zone. It's like the mac and cheese or the meatloaf of our hobby. It's the comfort food. Makes us feel good. Gorilla and Jesse make us feel good, you know? And so I think it's very good that that JR and I are going to make things more fun this summer, you know? Just late stuff that's not dated, stuff that's not, you know, stuff you don't have to listen to the next day. A lot of people go on vacation, a lot of stuff. So you can look at it, you know, you can come back, you know, a few days later and go, oh, wow, these guys did Beyond the Mat. That's kind of cool. And then listen to it and you realize that you can listen to it whenever you want.
Well,
you know, it's not like a headlines or after 2 days, you know, it's pretty, you know.
And the conundrum we're in is that we wanted to start doing different things like this. We were wanting to be on the mat for a while. We wanted to do a lot of different shows, but we want to also keep up the chronology. So something had to kind of break and give. It's just our schedules don't allow us to do more than 2 a week outside of a, you know, unique situation. So we wanted to try this out. There's a bunch of things we really wanted to review. So the thread is up in the feedback section on bigelow34.pullboards.com. We already have a ton of things listed. Scott and I are trying to load up on some of those that we don't have. And, you know, let's get beyond just posting, you know, a ton of the same thing. Let's just try and mix it up a little bit. And don't be offended if we go out of order and we don't hit the thing that you requested immediately. We're going to try and get to most of it, and we're going to try and rotate things. We might do a movie, then we might do a couple Raws, then we may do a pay-per-view, then we may come back and do a Raw, and then do another movie. So there's a lot of things we want to hit. If you want to check out that list, it's on the message board. But we're really looking forward to doing something a little bit different. So, as I said, this will be the last headlines for a while, probably at least until September, unless something major happens in between that we have to break in with. So, with that said, you can visit us on Facebook at the Place to Be Podcast, or during our live chats on Monday nights, or on our pay-per-views we chat, and just all the times during the week as well. You can see us at thehistoryof30.com and their Facebook page as well, on Twitter at Place Number 2 Beat Podcast, and our message board again, bigelow34.pullboards.com. Scott, what do you want to do? You want to hang around and try and catch the last 35 seconds of this game on air?
Well, no, it's only the third quarter.
Oh, shit. I am out of it.
Yeah, no.
I thought for sure.
Yeah, no, no. So, DDP and Baby G.
Yes.
That's going to be the name of your autobiography.
Yes.
DDP and Baby G.
Yes, that is my life.
Your autobiography.
And Jay Womet. Those three things are my life right now. So. PTB.
And PTB Nation, of course.
PTB, DDP, and Baby G. Yes, those are the three things dominating my life. All right, so with all that said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. And we will be back tomorrow night with King of the Ring 96. Get your feedback in if you haven't yet at the message board. And then next week, Jordan Duncan joins us, Beyond the Mat, and International Incident as well. So with all that said, we hope to be back tomorrow. Thank you for dealing with our quality issues, and we hope to have things clean up a little bit more tomorrow night for you. So for Scott Criscolo, I am Justin Rosero. Have a great night. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
The bombs!
Guys? Oh, big goals, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Ready. You know how we do it. Welcome to Shady Aftermath in the scope and shoot on it. Shady. Shady.
Shady Aftermath. I pull up big old truck with senoritas, six deep music knocking, yelling meat eye. I'm about my broccoli, why this cocky dough long? Yours is short like Gilbert Godfrey. Likes a crap game, but I'm trailing yachts at both hogging. Who they gonna get to stop me? It's the STAT. All you can do is pay me. Rhyme slick, shit covered in gravy. Two words and I'm taking your lady. Come here, Larry Flint style, I'm a hustler, baby. 92 on the shoes, belly got ties. Step in the place, now the place.
It's a rap, 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 it's a rap.